Amen. How many of you have brought your Bible, your tablet, your cell phone, however you access the Bible? Turn with me over to the book of Genesis this morning, the book of beginnings, Genesis chapter 39. And I want to read some scripture there from that 39th chapter this morning. And we're going to be talking about one of my favorite biblical characters today. The young man with a coat of many colors. Talking about Joseph. So Genesis chapter 39, let's begin reading with the 19th verse this morning. Verse 19, 39 chapter. Genesis. So he says in the word, "And it came to pass when his master," Joseph's master, "heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed into Joseph's hand all of the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever that they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. He knew that the Lord was with him and that which he did, and the Lord made it to prosper." And I'm going to stop there this morning. I'll ask if you will bow your heads and we will pray and ask the Lord for his help and his favor in ministering the word. Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning that we have the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. And we are thankful this morning, Father, for the touch of your Holy Spirit that we have sensed in this place, that we have felt. We have felt the touch of your hand. And Lord, we come to the reading of the Word of the living God this morning, and I would just ask that you would add a blessing to the reading of this Word, and I pray that you would help me and enable me to be a minister of the Word of the Lord this morning. Put your thoughts in my mind, your words in my mouth. Anoint what comes forth through these lips of clay with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Enable me. Give me liberty. Open our hearts, open our minds, and open our ears to hear and to understand what the Spirit would speak unto the church this morning. Those that are here in this congregation and even those that will listen by the internet, Father, let this word speak life to their heart, I pray. Let Christ be glorified. Hide me behind the cross. Let the church be edified, and we will forever give you the praise. We will forever give you the thanks, and we ask it this morning in the wonderful and mighty name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. So I want to title my message this morning, Simply Waiting Upon God. Waiting Upon God. And as I said this morning, I want to look into the life of one of my very favorite biblical characters, the young man by the name of Joseph. We read of Joseph's birth in earlier chapters of the book of Genesis. He is the son of Rachel and Jacob. You will remember, if you are a student of the Bible, that Rachel was the woman that had Jacob's heart. He loved Rachel. Worked 14 years for Laban just so he could marry that girl. Amen? How many of you remember that story? So Joseph is the firstborn son of Rachel and Jacob. And then we just read of his birth in the earlier chapters, but then it is there in chapter 37 that his story begins to unfold and we begin to understand more about him. The Bible says in that 37th chapter that Jacob has a dream that was given to him of the Lord. And Jacob dreams this dream that one day all of his family will come and gather around him and bow down at his feet. And Jacob, or Joseph, I mean, shared that dream with his family. And I don't know if that was wisdom, but I give him credit. He was only 17 years old. But he shared that dream with his family, and it so angered his brothers. They were already jealous of him because he was his father's favorite. But they were already jealous of him. But when he gave them this dream and said, I had this dream that one day the family would gather around me and bow in reverence. And even his father scolded him, but it just made his brothers mad. And the time came when they would take Joseph and throw him in a pit. And then they would see a caravan that was making their way into Egypt, and they would pull him up out of that pit, and they would sell him as a slave, their own brother. Sell him as a slave to be sent down into Egypt, never to be seen again, or so they thought. But how would they explain his absence from their father? So they take that coat of many colors that his father had given to him, and they slew a lamb, and they dipped that coat into the blood of that lamb, and they took it home to Jacob, and they told Joseph's father, something awful has happened to Joseph. This is all that we found of him, just the coat that you gave him. A wild beast must have slain him, and this is all that's left, just the coat and the evidence of the blood. Jacob's heart was broken, and Joseph was sent into Egypt and put on a block before an audience of people and was sold as a slave. So he is kidnapped, carried into Egypt, and sold to an Egyptian man that the Bible said was an officer in Pharaoh's house. This officer, his name was Potiphar. And Joseph just continued to have a good attitude, continued to have a right spirit in him, and continued to trust God. And he sold to Potiphar, and Potiphar brings him into his home and begins to allow him to do things here and there in the house. And finally, Potiphar realized that the hand of God and the favor of God was upon Joseph, so much so that he said, look, I'm going to put you in charge over all of my house. Everything I have, it's under your control. Joseph was raised to a position in Potiphar's house where he was in command of everything in the household. And God had blessed him even in spite of the tragedy of his brothers selling him and sending him into Egypt to become a slave. God blesses him. But then you know the story if you continue to read throughout the Word of God and continue to read this story as it unfolds. Potiphar's wife had her eye upon Joseph, and not in a good way. The Bible says that daily, every day, she came to Joseph and tried to get him to sleep with her in an illicit sexual affair. And Joseph resisted her temptation. Day after day, she would come to him and say, lie with me. And Joseph said, no, how can I do that to my master, the one that has placed me in charge of all of his house? He's put everything under my hand. The only thing that I don't have dominion over is you. You're his wife. How could I do that to him? And how could I do that against my God? How could I sin against God? And day after day after day, she made advances. And day after day after day, Joseph did the right thing and said, no. And how many of you have ever heard the old saying that hell hath no fury like a woman scorned? Oh. So one day she makes her advance and Joseph says no. And so she becomes angry and she starts yelling. and hollering for someone to come into the house, someone to come. And Joseph runs and he leaves his coat behind. And she grabs up the coat, and when others come, she said, "He tried to rape me. Look what he did. And if I hadn't have been hollering and I hadn't have got somebody's attention, he would have raped me." And she was so filled with anger that she was willing to lie. Potiphar comes home that night, the governor of the house. He comes home that night, and his wife lies to him and says, "Joseph, that Hebrew slave that you brought into this house, look what he's done to me. He tried to molest me, tried to rape me." And Potiphar was angry. Potiphar, rightly so, Potiphar was angry. And so he takes Joseph and he casts him into prison. He casts him into prison. As you begin to continually read on to that story, you find that Joseph has gone from his father's favorite to the pit, and from the pit into slavery, and then from slavery into the prison. How many of you see a spiral headed down? Think of it for a moment. God had given this young man a dream. God had given this young man a vision of what was going to come to pass. God had given him a glimpse of his divine destiny and his divine purpose for Joseph. And all that he has experienced so far is sorrow, heartache, and tragedy. And he finds himself in jail. And that brings us to the 40th chapter. In that 40th chapter, we find our hero, our biblical hero, in prison. Not because he did anything wrong, but because he did everything right. Now that's a quandary. Hello? I said he found himself in prison and in this kind of situation, not because he had done anything wrong, but because he had done everything right. How many of you have tried to do everything right and then you just found that life spiraled out of control and you found yourself in a mess? Amen, I've been there. Amen. I'm going to tell you, sometimes, beloved, we find ourselves in a mess not because we did something wrong, but sometimes we find ourselves in a mess because we did everything right. And God allowed him to go through these steps. God was working out something in his life. Our hero is in prison, and we read through that 40th chapter, and that 40th chapter of the book of Genesis is all about waiting on God. Everybody say, waiting on God. That 40th chapter is all about waiting upon the Lord. The single most important factor of chapter 40 in the book of Genesis is it begins with Joseph in prison, and guess how it ends? It ends with Joseph in prison. Nothing changed. It starts with Joseph in jail, and it ends with Joseph still in jail. You say, "Pastor Gary, that's not fair," but there it is, right there in black and white. Some of you here this morning have found yourself in a place, amen, where everything seemed like it's going wrong, but God years ago put a promise in your heart. God put a divine will in your spirit, and God put a divine purpose down in your heart. Amen. And every time you try to believe God, something comes up and just pushes you down, down, down. Not because you've done anything wrong, but because you're trying to do what's right. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, the question that the Spirit of the Lord wanted me to ask you this morning is, are you willing to wait upon God? Are you willing to wait upon God? Because when we wait upon the Lord, God will always bring about his divine purpose and his divine will. Amen. Chapter 40, let me give you just a condensed a condensed capsule of it. Chapter 40, he's waiting in jail. He's waiting because he has nothing more than he can do. He's waiting because he cannot get out of prison. He's waiting because he cannot appeal his sentence. He's waiting because he cannot escape. He is stuck. He can't move forward and he can't move backward. And the only thing that he can do is wait. He is far away from home. And even those that are at home think that he's dead. He's been falsely accused and put into prison. And all he can do is wait upon God. And so he waits. And so he waits. This 40th chapter, all about waiting. And so he waits. Oh, Lord Jesus, I hate to wait. Hello? It is here at this point in the narrative. It is here at this point in the story. Here at this point. This place of waiting that we as the reader have a problem. Let me say that again. It's here at this point in the narrative that you and I have a problem. Let me share with you what I mean this morning. We face a problem because in reality, we know how Joseph's story ends. Let me say that again. In reality, we know how Joseph's story ends. It's easy for us to read the story of Joseph because we know how it winds up. We know that eventually he emerges triumphant and he's placed in second in command over all the kingdom of Egypt. And one day his brothers will indeed stand before him and they will bow in reverence, just as God had told him when he was a young man. They would stand before him and Joseph would say, "You meant it for evil, but my God meant it for good." We know how the story winds up. And therein lies our problem. Because we know how the story ends. We read the chapter from 20 or 37 to maybe around chapter 50. And it's just a few chapters. Doesn't take very long, in a matter of minutes, and we watch Joseph rise from the pit where he was placed there by his brothers into slavery and into the prison and then promoted to the prime minister of Egypt. We watch it happen all in short order. It happens quickly within the matter of chapters. We read the story in a short duration of time and we read it with the knowledge of how the story turns out. But let me point out to you this morning that Joseph had no idea how it was going to turn out. He had no idea whether or not he would ever get out of prison. He had no idea that his brothers hated him to the point where they would sell him as a slave. He had no idea how it was going to turn out. Amen. Our problem is that we fail to take into consideration the weeks and the months and the years that all of this took to transpire. How long did it take, Pastor Gary? Well, let me just tell you, Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold into slavery. He did not become the second in command in Egypt or the prime minister in Egypt until he was 30, 13 years. What did he do? He waited. He waited. He waited upon God. He waited for God to do what it was that God wanted to do in his life. It is not like God came down and whispered in his ear, "Hang tough, buddy. Hey, man, one day you'll be the prime minister of Egypt. Don't let them get you down." It's not like God come down and just said, "Hey, man, I'll let me show you the end while you're before you go through it." God never shows us the end result, hey, man, while we're going through it. Why? Because we have to walk by faith and not by sight. God will give us a promise. God will give us a dream. God will place something in our spirit. And then we have to trust God to bring it about. Hmm. man, a short summary of chapter 40. It starts with Joseph in jail. It shows Joseph in jail in chapter 40. And then the Bible says it introduces two more characters, Pharaoh's cupbearer and Pharaoh's baker. They are thrown into prison in chapter 40. Both the cupbearer and the baker have a dream. Both men dreamed a dream in the same night. Joseph interprets both dreams. I'm giving you a short synopsis. Joseph interprets both dreams. One man is told that he will die, the baker. It came to pass. One man, the cupbearer, is told that in 3 days Pharaoh would restore him to his place and his position in the palace, and that once again he would serve Pharaoh his cup. And Joseph says to the cupbearer, when you get out of here and when you stand before Pharaoh, don't forget me. Don't forget about me. I'm in here innocently. My brother sold me into slavery. Potiphar's wife accused me of a crime I didn't commit. I'm here innocently. When you stand before Pharaoh, remember me, remember my name. And the interpreting of the dream came about for the cupbearer just as it did for the baker. He was restored to his place in the palace. And once again, he did indeed give Pharaoh his cup, but he forgot all about Joseph. So Joseph is in jail, innocent, innocent as can be, and forgotten about. And forgotten, but I'm going to tell you something this morning. God did not forget where he was. God did not forget where he was. The whole chapter starts and ends with Joseph waiting. And I said a moment ago, oh my, how we all despise waiting. I don't know if you are like me, but oh Lord, have mercy. When I want it now. Amen. We live in such a world of instant gratification. You know, I mean, you know, zap it in the microwave and bling it on the phone and all kinds of just instant stuff. We are so accustomed to getting what we want and getting it right now. And I just stopped by to tell you this morning, God don't operate that way. I said, God don't operate that way. He does not operate on our timetable. Some of you sitting here this morning are waiting on something in your life. You're waiting for God to answer a prayer. You're waiting for God, amen, to do something that you've been praying about. Waiting for God, amen, to do something that he promised you in your spirit a long time ago. And you keep waiting and you keep waiting and you keep waiting. And it seems like nothing is happening. You're waiting on a job offer. Waiting for the bank to give you a loan. Waiting for your loved ones to come to Christ. Waiting for the right guy. Waiting for the right girl to come along. Waiting, waiting, waiting upon the Lord. Waiting for somebody to buy your house. Waiting for your prayers to be answered. Waiting for your children and your grandchildren to come back to the Lord. Amen. Brother, if the truth be told, we are all sitting here right now this morning waiting on God to do something in our life. Waiting upon the Lord, waiting upon the Lord. And Lord, I want you to do it, and I want you to do it now. All things whatsoever you shall ask in my name, Jesus said, I will do it. Do it. I'm ready. Let it happen, Lord. Let it happen. And we wait. And we wait. And we wait. And we wait. And you know why we wait? Because waiting builds something in us. What does it build? Waiting builds trust. Waiting builds faith. Waiting builds tenacity. Waiting builds something down on the inside of us.
That when we're going through hell and going through high water and we remain faithful unto God and we keep on waiting and keep on holding to the promise of God and keep on believing and keep on walking and keep on striving, Brother God takes notice of that. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 27 and verse number 14, wait upon the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Psalms chapter 37 and verse number 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Oh, Lord. It's like driving Highway 16. Get out of the way or drive. Just wait, honey, just wait. I'm tired of waiting. Wait patiently on the Lord. Psalms 37 and verse number 34 said, wait on the Lord, keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. Amen. Psalms chapter 62 and verse number 5 said, my soul waits thou upon God, for he is my expectation. He is my expectation. Psalms 130 and verse 5 said, wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and my hope is in his word. Lamentations 3 and verse 25 said, the Lord is good unto them that wait. Amen. To the soul that seeks after him. Isaiah 40, 31 said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9 said, don't be weary in well-doing, for you're going to reap in due season if you faint not. Don't be weary in doing well. Don't be weary in hanging on to the promise. Don't be weary, amen, in keeping your eyes focused upon the Lord. Don't be weary in waiting. Don't be weary in your well-doing, because God has a payday someday. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That same verse could very well be translated, amen, don't get weary in waiting, because there is a payday someday. Amen. Don't get weary in your well-doing. Don't get weary in your promise. Don't get weary in believing God. Don't get weary in holding on, even though you've been waiting a long time. God made a promise, and I'm going to tell you, God is faithful who promised. I remember when I was a younger man. I was about 27 years old. God had called me into ministry. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was called to preach. And I was so hungry to do something for God. So hungry to do something for the Lord. God had put it down in my spirit to preach his word. And oh, how I wanted a place to preach. How I wanted to go and enter into full-time ministry. And the Lord said, not yet, not yet, not yet. Every morning I would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I would pray from 4 to 5:30, head out the door and make it to the Jim County Weed Control to go to work at 6 o'clock. And for 3.5 years, I worked at the Jim County Weed Control, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning, praying till 5:30, hitting the door and going to work. And every morning I would pray, oh, God, open a door so I could preach. Let me go. You call me? Why'd you call me if you're not going to let me go? I mean, you call me if you call me. Let me go do something. Not yet. Just wait. Reminds me of DJ when he was a little boy. When he was just a little bitty shaver, he was always in the strawberry patch. And every time one of the strawberries would turn just the slightest shade of red, he would pick them and eat them. I walked by one day and I said, son,
Don't pick him. They're not ready yet. It's not that I didn't want him to enjoy him. It's not that I didn't want him to have them. They just weren't ripe. I wanted him to wait. God said, not yet. Just wait, just wait, just wait. It was early April of 1987. I'm 27 years old. I knelt in my kitchen one morning about 4:15. I was telling Sandy this last week. I knelt in my kitchen about 4:15 in the morning and went to prayer. And the Lord just showed me a vision, and I had no idea what it meant. I had no idea what it meant. I wouldn't know what it meant until November came around. I knelt in my kitchen, and the Lord showed me a field of corn, and it was freshly plowed, and then it sprouted up in the two-leaf stage, and then it was ankle-high, knee-high, waist-high, up over your head. I mean, it was just a field of tall corn, and then it just turned brown in the field. You know how they just let corn stand in the field for seed? Well, it just turned brown. They harvested in late fall. I walked out the door that morning going to the Jim County Weed Control going, I have no idea what that was. Lord, you got to help me. I don't know what that meant. I don't know what are you trying to say? And lo and behold, right across the street where I live, there was a gentleman by the name of John Klingback that had a field about 25 acres or so. He had a field right across the street that he always kept in alfalfa. And that spring, he plowed it up, and you know what he planted? Corn. He had never had corn in that field before. And every morning, I would get up, pray, walk out the door, and I watched that corn grow up over the summer. I watched it grow from seedling up and all the way up over your head. In the month of July, I preached a fellowship meeting, and there was a gentleman by the name of Jackie Marshall that came to me from Boise. And he said, you know, while you were preaching tonight, he said, I've been praying God would send me an evangelist. And while you were preaching tonight, God said, that's your man. Get him. And I'm like, praise God, when do you want me to come? It was July. I said, I'm ready now. He said, well, I'm thinking about revival in November. And I thought to myself, November, they'll all be backslid. My God, let's do it now. Let's have church now. But that wasn't God's plan. He said, I want to start revival November the 1st. I said, all right, I'll put it on my calendar. I couldn't wait for November the 1st to come around. It still never dawned on me that I watched that corn grow up right across the street. November came and that corn was still across the street, standing in the field, just deader than a hammer, dried, ready for it to be harvested. I walked out onto the front porch. I walked out onto the front porch with my family to drive from Emmett to Boise to go to the revival, the very first night of the revival. And as I walked out on the porch, I saw a harvester turning into the field across the street. And God said, now, go. Now, go. November the 1st, 1987, God put me into full-time ministry. But for 3.5, 4 years, I had to wait. And now looking back, I know why I had to wait. They'd have chewed me up and spit me out. But Brother God was doing some stuff in my life to get me ready to go. 2005, May of 2005, I could take you to the hotel room in Marysville, California, where I was preaching the revival, and God spoke to me, and he said, you're not always going to be doing what you're doing. You're not always going to travel. I'm going to change your ministry, and I'm going to change your heart, and I know you didn't want to be a shepherd, but I'm going to call you to be a shepherd. Amen. You've been on the evangelistic field long enough, and I'm going to change your heart. I'm going to change your thought about it, and I'm going to make you a pastor. November the 20th, 2011, took about 6, 7.5 years or so, but God brought it to pass. I said, sometimes you just have to learn how
to wait. And waiting is never easy. Waiting challenges our faith. Waiting challenges our character. Waiting challenges us way down on the inside. So the question becomes, what do you do as you wait? Because we all will wait. We all at some point in our life will wait upon something from the Lord. And the question is, what do we do as we wait? And I believe this 40th chapter of the book of Genesis answers that. Three things that I see in the life of Joseph that speak to us about waiting. What do we do as we wait? Number one, Joseph remained faithful. Joseph loved the Lord and was sold out to God when they threw him in the pit. Joseph was sold out to God when they took him into Egypt and sold him as a slave. Joseph never changed his mind. He was still faithful and sold out to God when Potiphar's wife accused him of a crime he didn't commit. He just continued to love the Lord, continued to be faithful, and continued to believe God that one day, God would fulfill that dream that he had given him. He remained faithful as a slave. He remained faithful in Potiphar's house. He remained faithful in prison. Amen. Let me ask you a question this morning. What do you do when you're unjustly accused? And what do you do when people that you trusted turn their back against you? What do you do when you dream and your dreams turn to ashes? What do you do when you've been falsely accused? And what do you do when you've been unjustly imprisoned? What do you do when you've been forgotten about and pushed aside? I'll tell you what you do. You do exactly what Joseph did. You keep right on being faithful unto God. Hallelujah. And God raised him from the pit to the palace. God brought to pass Joseph's dreams, and indeed his family did bow before him. You will find it in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20 that his entire family bowed at his feet, and he forgave them of their wrongdoing against him. What do we do this morning when we, amen, are waiting upon God? We need to remain faithful. We need to remain faithful in prayer. We need to remain faithful in our commitment to God, faithful in our convictions. We need to remain faithful in our walk with God and faithful in our witness for God and faithful to the will of God for our lives. We need to remain faithful even when it's a struggle. We need to remain faithful even when it seems life is not making any good sense. Remain faithful when everything seems like it's falling apart, because those that remain faithful will see the will of God and the destiny that God has purposed for them in their life come to pass. Listen what Jesus said. He said in Luke chapter 16 and verse number 10, he said, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that which is much. And he that is unjust in that which is least is also unjust in much." Jesus was saying that if he can trust you with the little things, then he knows that he can trust you with the bigger things. If God can trust you to tithe on $100, then God knows he can trust you to tithe on $1,000. You hear what I'm talking about? God knows if you'll be faithful in the little things, then God knows you will be faithful in that which he blesses you with. Hallelujah. So the first thing we need to take from Joseph's life is we need to understand that God is looking for someone who is faithful. The Bible said these words in 1 John 4 and 4. "This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." And that word faith in 1 John 4 and 4 is a Greek word called pistis. And it means faithfulness. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faithfulness. We need to remain faithful. Joseph was faithful and God brought about his divine purpose for him. We need to remain trusting. trusting. Now, how many of you know when you are sold and put in prison and I mean, you are alienated from everyone you know and alienated from those that love you and they think you're dead and they've been folks that accuse you of rape. It's hard to find a good friend in that kind of situation. Hello? I mean, it's hard to find somebody that cares. You know, the old song, here's a quarter, call somebody who cares. Right? Amen. What did Joseph do? It would have been easy for him to just throw up his hands and go, I quit. Enough is enough. I'm done. But he just kept on trusting. He just kept on believing. He just kept on knowing that somehow, some way, God was going to turn it around and make it for good. Somehow, some way, amen, God was going to change the situation. And what we need to do, beloved, when we are waiting on God, is we need to be faithful unto the Lord, and we need to continue to trust in God. The Bible said in Psalms chapter 56 in verse number 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee, O Lord. Psalm 62 and 80 said, trust in him at all times. O ye people, pour out your heart before him, for God is our refuge. Psalms 91 verse number 2 says, amen, for I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and he is my fortress. He is my God and in him will I trust. Psalms 125 verse number 1 said, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. They shall not be moved. One of my favorite scriptures, Proverbs 3 and 5 said, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. How do we keep trusting? Amen, by holding on to our trust in the Lord. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28 said, for we know, everybody say, we know that all things, not some things, but all things. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. In other words, it doesn't matter what you are going through or what you have been through. Brother, God has a plan and God has a purpose. And if you keep faithful and keep trusting and keep holding on to the hand of the Lord, he'll make it work out for your good. My. Remain trusting. The third thing that Joseph does is he holds on to the promise. He holds on to the promise. He hangs on to God's word. God, I know what it looks like, but I know what you said. I know what it looks like, but I know what it said. I know the dream will come to pass and it will not lie. I know that God has spoken, and that even where I am in this prison, God is able to move and bring about his plan for my life. Amen. Some people think that they are too far gone for God to finish doing what he wanted to do in their life. Can I just tell you something this morning? Amen. You are never too far gone. Amen. Here's Joseph. He's been sold into slavery. He's been cast into prison. And he's been forgotten about. But God said, hey, I remember the plan. I remember the design. I remember the purpose that I've called this young man for. And I see where he is. But I know who I am. And I'm able to raise him up and bring him out of the pit and put him in the palace. Hang on to the promise of God. Numbers chapter 23 and verse number 19 says these words. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not make it good? Hath he spoken it, and shall he not do it? Hey, I'm here to tell you this morning, if God said it, amen, he'll do it. He'll perform it. He'll bring it to pass. All we have to do is what the word of God declares in Hebrews 10:23. Hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. Hold on to the word of God and the promise of God, and the God that made the promise will see to it that it comes to pass. Three things while you're waiting upon the Lord. Some of you right here, I'm going to tell you right now, some of you right here, right now are waiting on God. It won't be the first time, it won't be the last, but some of you right here, right now are waiting on God to do something you've been praying about. What do you do while you wait? You remain faithful to the Lord. You remain trusting in the Lord, and you hold on to his promise. Hold on to his word, and he will perform it. Amen. Let me just tell you something this morning. If God has given you a word, you do not have to go about trying to make it happen. God will make it happen for you. How do you know that, Pastor Gary? Lesson learned. You don't have to make it happen. God will make it happen for you. Amen. I didn't dream it up. He did. Therefore, he said, I will do it. You hear what I'm talking about? All we need to do is remain faithful, remain trusting, and remain holding on to the promise. And remember that God sometimes is never in a hurry. Please, Lord Jesus, now. Not yet. How many of you know the Bible said that God does everything in the fullness of time? The Bible said in the book of Galatians that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, under the law to redeem them that were under the law. In the fullness of time, God sent Jesus to this world to redeem us back to himself. In the fullness of time. How many of you know that when Jesus was on the earth, he said there have been prophets and there have been men of old that desired to look upon what you are seeing. They desired to hear what you hear, and they didn't hear it. They went to their grave. But I'm here now because it's the fullness of time. God does all things in the fullness of time. I have always said he's never late, but he's missed many opportunities to be early. But he does not operate on my schedule. He does not operate on my schedule. His word says that he makes all things beautiful in my time. Nope, that's not what it said. He makes all things beautiful in his time. In his time. Amen. Conclusion this morning. What do you do while you wait? Determine, I'm going to be faithful to the Lord. I'm going to be faithful to the work of the Lord. I'm going to be faithful in the house of God. I'm going to be faithful in my commitment to the Lord. I'm going to be faithful in my relationship with the Lord. Amen. I'm going to have a trusting heart. Amen. I know what I see around me, but I still believe that God is able to keep that which I commit unto him. I still believe that God is able to pick me up where I am and place me where he said he wanted to put me. I still believe, I still trust, amen, and then have a heart, amen, that believes, and a heart that holds fast to the promise of God, and God will see to it that it comes about in your life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, waiting upon God, waiting upon God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I pray in the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father. Take the simple words of this message and the example of Joseph that has been brought out and speak to our hearts and cause us to recognize that you are able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. According to the power that works in us, the power of our faith, the power of our trusting, and the power of our belief in your word. Help us to understand, Lord, that no matter where we are and how long we've been waiting, that you are a God that will not disappoint. That you are a God that will fulfill his promise in our hearts and in our lives. I pray, Lord, you would touch our spirits this morning and understand that as we wait, we need to be faithful and trusting and holding on to the promise of the Lord. Speak to us now, I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you here in this place would just be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I've been waiting and I've been waiting. And now I understand why. I understand why. And I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to be trusting and I'm going to remain holding on to the promise of God. And I believe sometime, at some place, God is going to fulfill his promise to me. I believe that God is able even now. At this point, God is able even now. I'm going to be trusting and faithful. And act in obedience to his word and believe the Lord. Hands been lifted all over the building. Stand up on your feet if you would, please, this morning. Let me share a prayer with you. Will you do that? Let me share a prayer with those that lifted their hands. My Father, the hardest thing for us to do as a human being is wait. I pray, Lord, that you would give us an understanding and a peace in our spirit as we wait upon you and the right timing for the fruit to become ripe, for the right timing for your will to unfold, the right time, Lord, for your hand to move and bring it all about. And Lord, as we wait, help us to understand what really matters is that we have a good attitude, that we have a right spirit, that we wait, Lord, trusting in the promise of God, and that we wait unfailing, faithfully for you to work it out. You said in your word, Father, that we could come to you and we could cast all of our care upon you because you care for us. And some of us want to continue to carry that care around and that worry and that fret and that burden. But Lord, this morning, help us to understand that when we give it to you, we may not be able to take care of it, but when we give it to you, you are able to make all things beautiful in your perfect time. In your perfect will, speak encouragement to our hearts, Lord, I pray. I ask these things in the wonderful name of Jesus, and everyone that lifted their hand, Lord, bless them and encourage them today by your word, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.